It is the afternoon, and welcome to it. I hope you're ready for it. I know we are. Coach K and I have got our stuff together. I nearly said something else then, but yeah, gorgeous day in the Harbour City. I hope it's nice weather. You are listening. And we've got a lot coming up too today, as we do every day. Dare I say it, Coach K, it's a massive program. Massive program. G'day, afternooners. Thanks for tuning in, however you're listening. SEN welcomes you to our very broad house of worship. It's all thanks to Independent Reserve too, by the way. Remember, if you are looking to buy Bitcoin, good time to buy. Choose independentreserve.com. Have you dabbled in the cryptocurrency market, Coach K? No. No. This is a bloke who, I think he won $7 one day when he went to Royal Randwick. So, I mean, that was an extravagant day for Coach K. Anyway, if you are in Queensland, you're listening via SENQ, 693 AM. SEN the Gold Coast, SEN 1620, SEN 1170 AM in Sydney. Of course, you can listen via the digital radios in your car, in the wherever you got them, in the office, maybe in the kitchen, SENQ DAB Plus channel, and of course, download the app. That's what I was doing today whilst I was on the train. That's right, on the train. Had a lot of thinking time. As testimony to the amount of text messages I was sending Coach K about all the ideas I had thinking about the show, none of them were much good, but somehow we've come up. Here's how good the ideas were. The one we've got is star signs. I don't know how we got there. I'll explain it a little bit later. Adrian Prezenko coming up very shortly. He's the NRL Chief Rugby League Reporter for the Sydney Morning Herald. What's trending with Coach K? We're going to have the 12 o'clock flock again. Your chance on 1300 01 1170. I reckon there's some Knights fans out there might want to have their say. And if you do have your say, you've got a chance to get $100 cash courtesy of topsport.com.au. We get into the text line a couple of times. We're going to speak to Curtis Patterson. I'm looking forward to that. Liked watching him bat, the lefty, for the Sixers, for the Scorchers last year. He's going to be for the Sixers this season. Afternoon's Amplified score update with Coach K. And then Tristan Merlihan, he's putting up that $100 cash. The 2 o'clock flock will be back. Jared Condon from Reading the Play, he'll give you a bit of guidance as to where to invest that $100. Then we've got the sounds of the game for the Signet Power Bank, and then we dive into the text line again. So very, very busy program. There are lots of stories around. Let's have a listen to what on earth is going on at the Newcastle Knights. We say it a lot on this program, don't we? Because they're out of town, they're a little bit out of sight. They're 14th on the ladder. They've got 12 competition points. They're below the Warriors, who have been all over the place this year. And yet, when you look at their squad, it's much stronger than the Titans, the Tigers, the Warriors, the Bulldogs. You could probably mount a strong argument for the Dragons. If you put Ben Hunt in the Knights side, the Knights are immediately competitive, I would have thought. But that's where they're at the moment. We've had some bizarre offerings from the Newcastle Knights of late. We spoke about Adam O'Brien's on Monday. Here is Adam explaining Adam on Sunday.
The press conference after the game, I'd like to have back. I clearly didn't articulate the message that I was trying to get across, and I apologise for that. It looks like I'm an egomaniac. That wasn't my message. The message was I was trying to talk to the supporter that sits on the hill that must be wondering at times, do they practice defence? Do they do tackle technique at training? The boys are training at a really high standard in terms of what I've witnessed at successful clubs.
I would suggest that the fan that's sitting on the hill goes, what the hell's happening with Dave Clemmer? I would argue that his effort week in, week out was as good as anyone at the Newcastle Knights. Now, if that's not how you want him to play, Adam, then, you know, that's the conversation you should be having with him. But as far as effort goes, I don't think you can be critical of Dave Clemmer. So he was issued a show cause notice. What? Relating to on-field disciplinary matters. That's extraordinary in itself. And what did he do? He told the trainer he didn't want to come from the field. It happens all the time. All the time. In my modest career, I had words with trainers that were coming on and delivering messages. In the heat of the battle, there's not a whole heap of clarity there. You could argue there's not a whole heap of clarity at any point, but they've lost four in a row. They've got the Tigers on Sunday, James Tarmo's 300th. So you just think, well, They're going to lose to the Tigers at Campbelltown. My understanding is, too, that what you saw on the field was nothing compared to what we saw off the field. That Adam O'Brien and, to a greater extent, Hayden Knowles and the playing group are having their issues up there. And a developing story across the Daily Telegraph today is the fact that they have, well, how would you say it, a revolt. You know, coaches get sacked and there's no revolt, right? The coaches then get sacked because there is a revolt. So I've seen it firsthand. 1998, South Sydney Rabbitohs, Steve Martin. Genuine player revolt. Not happy with the way that he was coaching as a team and as individuals. So I won't say that the players got him sacked, but I'll tell you what, they didn't help. There weren't too many praises flowing to management from players about the way that Steve Martin was coaching. That's how it starts. So there's another concern for Adam O'Brien. The biggest concern, this game coming up on Sunday, we'll have a double pass to give away to it too if you send in the best text message. Pat Carrigan, four matches. Ooh. So they were hoping for five or six, the NRL lawyer, but Nick Gabar, gee whiz, he's busy. Nick, isn't he? He just must wait on a Sunday night and get the text messages. Come on, can you come and defend our guy? He's done a good job with Patrick Carrigan. So, are we okay with 4 weeks? When you look at it with the Nathan Cleary tackle, you go, maybe that's right. But when you look at it with other hip drop tackles, Tyrell Fuimaono, when you look at it with regards to Jackson Hastings and what's happened for him out for the rest of the season, I think they got a little lucky there, the Bronx. I really do. And they haven't sent a strong enough message, in my mind, to the rest of the playing group. Because it's interesting, Luke Keary said on a podcast, a Fox League podcast, that look, he reckons he's done it 100 times during the course of his career. Now, his direct quote is, at the start of last year, Fuimaono got a big suspension. I remember watching it at the time and thinking, I didn't see a problem with it. But then I slowly kind of learnt that it's a bad tackle. He said he's done it 100 times. So there's ones where there's fatigue and bad technique get involved, and then there's ones like the Carrigan one where it seems to me it was a very deliberate act. So I think Patrick Carrigan and the Brisbane Broncos got very lucky with 4 weeks. NRL young gun Josh Schuster, this is according to Wide World of Sports, considering skipping the Rugby League World Cup. Haven't we had this? Didn't we have this 3 weeks ago that Schuster was thinking of skipping it? Danny Widler reporting that the 21-year-old knows, quote-unquote, a full off-season would benefit him as he aims to be Manly's starting 5'8". So my question to you on this one is, and we know how much he enjoyed playing for Samoa, played really well for them in that game out there at Campbelltown Stadium in the international rep round. What comes first, giving him the number 6 jersey and then knowing he's going to work hard? Because I look at Josh Schuster now and I think he's not working hard. Physically, I don't think he's at a level where he's prepared for 80 minutes of NRL. I look at Kieran Foran and I go, well, he's doing everything he can. Everything he can for that Manly Seagulls side. So, as I say, what comes first? Give him the number 6 jersey and then he works hard? I'm of the old school where I think you work hard and then I'll give you the number 6 jersey. And remember, the great old saying, the only place success comes before work is in the dictionary. And can't you work hard and be ready to play number 6 for the Manly Seagulls next year and go and play for Samoa in the World Cup? Why are they mutually exclusive? So is that saying that every other player that goes to the World Cup is not going to be prepared coming into round 1 of 2023? I don't think that's right. So I don't know why that is the case. So that's a really interesting one from Manly, from Schuster, and his management. I'd love to get your thoughts on that. So then we get from the Mole saying there was a player who did play for the Manly 17 who was very, very upset. That is a club divided. They are still saying, this is a direct quote, they weren't consulted about the pride jerseys and it went against their religious cultural beliefs. We weren't consulted when the betting sponsor was placed on our jerseys. The guys wear that every week. I'm not sure what their God would say about that. Anonymous source. So attributed to no one. So that's always interesting. The other part about it is this. I would wonder, is this player who played for the Manly 17 last week, are they included in the Manly 17 this week? Because that often has a bearing on that, whether he gets selected for another game or not. Would love to know the thoughts on that, because Kieran Foran's come out in the Sydney Morning Herald and said, look, tough conversations. Trbojevic, Jake and Josh Alloway met on Sunday. Then we all met as a group. So, yeah, we're putting to one side that and we're going, you know, we're working together as a team. So everything's okay there. So somewhere in between lies the truth over there at the Manly Seagulls. Love to get your thoughts on that today as well. 1300 01 1170. So New South Wales government v the NRL. Who wins? And what's a win look like? So my understanding was that instead of getting the rectangular stadium 70,000 out there at Homebush, as it is known now, Accor, that was put together prior to the pandemic and ticked off by Gladys Berejiklian, that after the pandemic they went, I tell you what, we can't afford that much, the 800,000. So what we can afford is 350 million and we'll update Shark Park, Brookvale Oval, Leichhardt Oval and Newcastle. Let's see how we go with that. Now the speculation is that Peter Vlahakis is saying, well, let's go back to the original idea. That is, let's make Sydney Olympic Park, purpose-built rectangular stadium, for 70,000 people for a cost of 800,000. I would have thought with building costs at the moment, you could easily say that's a billion. Easily say that's a billion. So what is the best outcome? So, and I'm talking about it from a New South Wales taxpayer's point of view. I'm also talking about it from a rugby league fan of point of view. Would you rather have four suburban stadiums done okay than one big major stadium done superbly? Because if you get a 70,000-seat stadium, rectangular, purpose-built, that would be sensational. Origin, test matches, grand finals, Wallabies games, Socceroos games, Matildas games, everything in there. Give us some NFL content while you're at it as well. All that would be happening. Now that, I think, is good value for money. Good value for money. That's my opinion. Love to know yours. Well done, the Aussies. They keep winning gold, don't they? They just keep... Molly O'Callaghan, well done to her. She beat... Shayna Jack actually won the silver, and then Emma McKeon won the bronze in the women's 100 metres freestyle. The Australian mixed medley team, they won gold. That was McKeon getting another one. What about that? She's had 13 gold. She's won 19 medals in total. It was a record for any competitor from any country, from any sport at the Commonwealth Games. So absolutely superb. The interesting part about this, she won it and Cole Chalmers was left out of the team there. So that was a little bit awkward. And Cody Simpson, we've talked about it a lot on this program, haven't we, Coach K? Cody Simpson, he was a pop star. He's come fifth in the 100 metres butterfly at the Commonwealth Games. That is phenomenal. It's his first major meet and he's gone out there and run fifth. I cannot believe it. But anyway, well done to him on that one. And just lastly, before we get to a break, Davey Warner. So his management's come out and said, you know, we want Davey to stick around and play in the BBL, but you got to cough up. So it looks like they are going to cough up. So Cricket Australia, talk about this. So they want to say to Channel 7, who they're in court with, their broadcast partner, I use that term loosely, we're going to have Davey Warner in the BBL. Okay, is he captain? Let's not get to that yet. But why don't we pay him $340,000, which is about the same amount for the number one seed in the draft? Okay, that's fine. But then you've got Aaron Finch and Glenn Maxwell and Marcus Stoinis, and they're on between $100,000 and $200,000. So how long is that going to last? And how long is it going to last until someone from these new UAE competitions where they go for half the length of the BBL and you get twice as much money? How long is that going to last? And how long till we get IPL team equity stakes in BBL teams? Are you okay with that? I'm okay with it. It's a global reach. I think this is the way forward for Cricket Australia and the BBL. Then you're going to start to attract international players. Then your broadcast partner, using that term loosely, will be really happy with it. I read an article on the train on the way in. I know, I read a lot of articles. NFL team franchises now, average value, $4.14 billion USD. Headlined by the Dallas Cowboys, $7 billion plus. If you want to get anywhere near that, and you can with cricket and the size of the Indian market, then you have to open yourself up to more international, read Indian participants, and therefore that means a bit of equity. You've just got to go their way as well. Let me know your thoughts on that, 1300 01 1170. Let me know your star sign. I want to know your star sign, all right? So I don't know how we got into it. I was just there on the train having a quiet moment, and it all came to this. your star sign. So Dave Clemmer's a Capricorn. Responsible, disciplined, self-control, good manager. His weakness is he's a know-it-all, he's unforgiving, he's condescending and expecting the worst. Well, he might have been expecting the worst when he walked off the field, and he may well have been condescending to the trainer who tried to get him off the field, but that's where we're going to go today. Coach K, I know. Scorpios, I'm a Scorpio, water sign. Resourceful, powerful, brave, passionate, a true friend. Weaknesses, distrusting, jealous, manipulative, and violent. Oh, seems a little bit... I dislike dishonesty and superficiality. Oh, that is totally me. That is absolutely me. So there you go. Tell us your star sign. That's what we're after today. The good points and the bad points. Do you agree? Do you disagree? All right, we better get to a break. Your chance to call now, 1-300-01-1170. $100 up for grabs, courtesy of Top Sport. Call now. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to tune in from midday, Monday to Thursday, till 3 p.m. on 1170 SEN.